broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for February the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2021. Hour 2. Our goal, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Our goal, to protect life, liberty, and property. Wow. Have we got a row to hoe when it comes to that? Ladies and gentlemen, last hour we broke down the previous day's broadcast, and then we jumped in to this News for Patriots alert. Mother Nature turns her winter fury on the South when storms come to the Northeast or something. Nobody bats an eye. In fact, we're sick of hearing about it. But when it comes to the Deep South, it's brutal indeed. We talked about the U.S. is divided into three general power grids. One covers the eastern United States, the other one the western states, and the third one is the Texas grid. The Texas grid covers primarily the complete state of Texas. The Texas grid is called ERCOT. Yeah. And it's ran by an agency of the same name, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, ERCOT, if you will. And it's basically an electrical island in the middle of America. It's on its own. It was created back in 1970 because in 1965 they had a massive storm and they said, this will never happen to us again. Oh, but voila, fast forward to 2020, it did. 2021, I should say. All right, but the temporary collapse of Texas, ladies and gentlemen, is foreshadowing the total collapse of the United States. PatriotRising.com is that article. We talked about it in detail last hour. I broke down about how bad it is and how crumbling our systems really are and how old and ancient. In fact, in other countries, they have way better electrical capabilities and systems than we do. Many of them have leapfrogged us in terms of technology, and our systems are aging and crumbling, and our demand for power has never been greater. And, you know, we got a serious problem on our hands. Now, thus, we don't go negative. We can turn to God. Repentance is one of the great keys. I know you think it's not related, but it is. Just ask Noah from the Bible if you don't believe me. Anyway, I digress. Jim Clymer, well-known constitutional attorney, one of the leaders of the Constitution Party, the party of integrity, liberty, and prosperity, constitutionparty.com. Mr. Jim Clymer, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, I want to discuss this article that I've been talking about a little bit more. The electrical grid's melting down, but our water systems are another example of serious concern. In Texas, for example, the cold weather literally caused thousands of pipes to burst. The damage caused by all these ruined pipes are in the billions, with a B, billions of dollars. Right now, we're being told the total of 797 water systems in the states are currently in trouble because of frozen pipes and damage done. Some 13.5 million people are facing water disruptions right now, with over 790 plus systems melting down. About 725 systems are under a boil water advisory right now. Overall, approximately 7 million Texans live in areas that have been ordered to boil their water, and it could take months of service disruption and months for it to become normal again. Without water, none of us can survive long, and it's absolutely imperative that you have a backup plan when the system goes down. I didn't say if, did I? In Houston, people that are without water in their homes have been forced to line up at public spigots to get water. Meanwhile, in scenes reminiscent of a third world country, Houston residents filled up buckets and hauled them back to their homes. One Houston resident, whose power has just gone back on Thursday after only 3 days, but still has no water, said it's crazy. Most of us still don't have potable or drinking water. Folks, if your water system completely fails, you won't even have a public spigot for water. Shortages of food and other essential supplies are being reported in Texas. They say for many people, the system going down creates rapid need. In other words, the situation becomes desperate rapidly. Okay? They were struggling to stay warm and fed with water. Stores are out, if not closed. Okay? Food is thawing and being destroyed faster than people can get it distributed. The problem isn't that they won't even let people have the food. The problem is they had a hard time even distributing it. What would they have done if the blackouts had lasted for months, I ask you? All over the state, extremely long lines have been forming at local supermarkets. People have been hanging out, camping before they, because you might as well go outside. Your home won't do you any good. It's colder in your house than outside many times. Right? People are getting there hours before the stores even open. This is happening in communities across Texas. Anyway, they show video of bread lines and stuff. They say those who prepared in advance didn't have to wait in such long lines. They already had at least some food. Sadly, the people who got to the stores early, well, they walked outside, the managers, before the store even opened, and they said, "We're very low. We don't hardly have any food at all. We haven't had a delivery in over 4 days," the manager of the store said. Remember, this is just a temporary crisis in Texas that only lasted a couple of days. So what would happen is if a severe long-term reality occurred? Jim Clymer, I want to start there with you, my friend. I know this sounds, when we read about it, worse than it probably is in many ways, because it's, this isn't happening all across the state to everybody. Certain people don't have food and stuff like that. It's bad for some, not for others. I get all that. And it's not as bad as it might sound as a whole. But remember, this is only a day or two or three that this even happened. If we had a real crisis, we'd be in serious trouble, Jim.
Well, we would. No question about that. And unfortunately, when you have a crisis like that, that gives opens the door, gives the opportunity for government to seize more power, seize more of our liberties, and deny us our liberties. And that's a scary, that's one of the scary things about it. The other is, and I know you have done this, I've known a lot of other people, especially in your church, that your denomination, that have been promoting for years that people make preparation, that you take reasonable steps to prepare for a crisis, which will come at some point in time. And, of course, those who live in densely populated areas, in my view anyway, are more vulnerable because you've got big masses of people all needing the same thing. Now, I'm a country boy. I'm a country folk. And, you know, we've got running spring behind our house. We have generators. We have food that's canned that we have jars and of course food that's frozen, things like that. And if we had to, we could survive for quite a while without if the system broke down. But you know, that's a lot more difficult if you're living in a densely populated area. You don't have a stream. You don't have a spring out back of the house that you can get water from. And so, you know, I feel especially for those, they're the ones who need to keep some bottled water stored in their basement or in their house somewhere. And as well as food and prepare for that type of thing. And as you point out so well, this is only a few days. What would it be like if it extended into weeks or even months? And if it would go that long, there were very few of us that could survive that. It'd be mass hysteria. But then remember, too, that this is an unusual event. I mean, this is there are different things that could cause a panic like this, or situation where there's a lot of hysteria and system breaking down. This was caused by nature, by God, by, it's a storm that was, let me just insert here, this is a terrible what the global warming will do to us, but here's an event that's really a naturally occurring event. Doesn't happen very often, but it does happen, and we've got to be prepared for those things. The more critical, in my view, situation would be where we have an EMP strike or something which knocks out the grid, not just in Texas, but in the whole country, and where our computers don't work, our cars don't run, and all those things, which could very well happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Clymer with me. The Party of Integrity, Liberty, and Prosperity, ConstitutionParty.com. What would happen if a severe, long-term, national emergency, whatever that be, right, disrupted food, water, and power systems for months on end? All it took, ladies and gentlemen, to cause a short-term collapse scenario in the state of Texas was some cold weather. Eventually, much worse things will happen in our nation, folks. And it has become clear that we are not ready. Get prepared while you still can, because time's running out in seconds on your radio.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know a lot of us don't believe in global warming. A lot of us have different views on this. There's an article out, a new poll. Trump supporters have the most divergent views on global warming of anybody. Now, the reason that I want to bring this up, though, is this. I don't care how you feel about climate change. If you believe it's real, if you believe it's fake, I happen to believe it's real. Okay, I believe that global warming and climate change is real. The part that I don't believe is that it's all the humanoids' fault and that humans are an enemy of the Earth. And that what we need is government dictates to solve the problems for us. Okay? So I don't believe humans are the enemy of the Earth. And I don't believe that government's going to solve the problems for us. I do believe climate change happens. Just ask Noah if you don't believe. All right? there was a massive flood, and I think the earth changed when the waters were on the earth. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, we do have hot and cold temperatures. We do have biblical reality of, you know what? God uses the weather to punish us, not because he hates us or he wants us to be punished, but because he wants to stir us up in remembrance of him. He wants us to realize how vulnerable and fragile we really are, and he wants us to turn to God, turn to him, okay? Because that's where solutions are. That's where Jim started to go with this, and we'll get into that for a second. But I want to mention, it doesn't matter if you believe in this global warming or not, or whether you think it's real or not. Really, you got to ask yourself, forget climate change for a minute, forget the debate, forget the political overtones, forget the political divide. What would happen is if a severe long-term national emergency, whatever it be, disrupted food, water, and power systems for months on end. All it took to cause this collapse or this problem was a couple of days of cold weather. Now you could say, well, it was extremely cold, Sam. I agree. But do you think there can't be more extreme cold or more extreme heat or whatever else? There can be and there will be, Jim. Get prepared while you still can because times are running out is the point.
Well, that's exactly right. I fully agree with that. And I do believe in climate change, but it's by natural processes, not what humans is doing, as you already said. But yes, you know, it's a given that it's going to happen at some point. There's going to be a time in most people's lifetime, and it could be, well, as we become more and more dependent as a society, as a country, on technology, on electronics and things of that nature, the greater the calamity when something hits like this. Now, back 150 years ago, it would not nearly have been so drastic, where people wouldn't have had to rely so much on water supply. You know, it has a lot more of natural water supply, whether it be from springs or whatever, and people did more storing food just in the natural process of things, of canning and drying foods and having things on hand like that. But as we become more and more industrialized, more and more dependent on technology, we are more vulnerable. And I couldn't say it any more strongly than what you said it yourself, that we need to prepare while we have the opportunity, because we never know when that opportunity may come to an end.
All right, now, Jim, this is Solutions Radio, and I've painted a pretty dire picture of how bad it is in Texas, how bad it can get in America, and I don't do it to be negative. I do it to be real. All right, we teach the ideal, but we live in the real, okay? But I wrote a headline that I believe is Solutions Radio at its best. Here's the headline. Let's break it down and talk about it a little bit. Repent. Turn to God. Pray. Do all you can to get ready. Okay, I believe if we do those things, you know what? It's not a disaster. It's not a meltdown. These realities have been foretold biblically. We know they're going to happen. We know as the people as a whole turn away from God, more and more and more retributions for not acknowledging God, not turning to him will happen. That's the order of things. We've been taught that biblically. We know it's true. We know it's coming. We know it's reality. Now it's time to do what we can I don't know if I should say prevent, because I don't know that we could prevent prophecy, but we can certainly make it more mild, and we can certainly have God create miracles in our lives. And so if we repent, if we turn to God, if we pray, if we do all we can to get ready, like the 10 virgins in the Bible or whatever else, and have our lamp full of oil, so to speak, in my mind that relates a lot to preparedness, we can decrease the harshness of it. We can have God spare us and protect us from miracles. And I was at a Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Conference some years ago, and we literally had a tornado come straight at us. And we all prayed, and we literally had speakers speaking with the power out. We had to run to the stairs for, the stairwell for safety at one point, etc. And in that whole event, this tornado literally jumped over our hotel and hit the next hotel over. Now, I'm not here to say that I was righteous and the hotel over with bad people. I'm not here to make any claims like that. I am here to say that God can spare us. And if we turn to God, he can protect us. He can heal our land. He can make the weather mild for our sakes. But it takes us turning to him. And so, you know, a lot of people would just say, Sam, you're in your God mode where you're, you know, you got this crutch. You believe in this unknown character. You know, say all you want, folks. But I'm telling you that I believe in miracles and I believe in God. And I believe he can spare us. And I believe as these troubled times come, if we turn to him and then if we get up and do our part, Jim, I think that's the key to success. This is Solutions Radio, Jim.
Well, you're right. And it's been said that you need, we need, as human beings, we need, or as Christians, we need to do all we can in our power, but we have to, at the same time, trust God. And, you know, the reality is that God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want them to or the way we think he should. But he's got his designs, and we have to be trusting. And, you know, I do believe in miracles, and I believe that God can save us. But, of course, you know, the enemy may choose to not save us, as the case might be. But we need to do everything in our power to not that we rely on that. We have to recognize that our reliance is on God at all times. But we need to do what we can and let the rest up to God.
And that's why I say we can repent, we can rely on his promises, we can turn to him, we can trust in his word, we can do all those things. And I get that it may not be perfect, but I also get that, you know what, all we can do is what we have control over. And we don't have the ability to do much else, folks. So I think preparedness is good. I think being aware is good. I think acknowledging is good. But I agree with Jim. You know what? After all that we can do, we just got to trust in God's mercy and grace, Jim.
Yeah, I think, and I'll go further. I think it's our duty to do what we can. And again, not put our hope and faith in that, but it's our duty to do what we can and to be prepared. And, you know, we've got families. We've got other people that we're responsible to that we need to be prepared for, not just for ourselves, but for those who are under our purview, or under those who are under our care and dependency. And you know, that's our duty to be prepared for all of them, not just ourselves.
Stewardship, leadership come to mind in this, ladies and gentlemen. We don't need to panic and melt down. We don't need to just run around in fear. We do need to have faith in the author of our liberty, in our God. And we can make a difference. This is Solutions Radio, is why we focus on these solutions. And you may say, well, I'm not as religious as you are. And my response to that is there's always time to get more religious, to realize God's in charge. Let me give you an example. John Kerry is the climate czar for Joe Biden. And climate czar John Kerry said we have 9 years left to avert a climate catastrophe. And there's no room for BS. That, given the 2018 projection, that we had 12 years left to avoid the catastrophe. 3 years later, we have 9 years left. Now, you can say I don't believe in what they're saying. But you know what? I believe that the socialists and the communists, if they have their way, will resort to either making climate change problems occur to stir us up and force us to take it seriously, or they'll be always prepared to never let a good crisis go to waste. If a natural disaster or God sees to use the weather, they will jump into that and take advantage of it for their tyrannical purposes. And that's why I say that it doesn't matter if you believe it's true or not. The fact is, even if natural disaster happens, they will take advantage of this. All right? They say a much faster transition to clean energy is necessary. There's no room for BS anymore. They rejoined the Paris Agreement, folks. This is not a joke. And whether you agree with it or not isn't the point. The fact is, we need to prepare. When we come back, we got a whole lot more. Jim Clymer, Sam Bushman on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Trump called the Supreme Court's recent decision to allow the release of his tax returns continued political persecution. The 45th president also asserted New York officials are distracting the public from the actual crime in the city, where violence has been reaching new record highs. The investigation into the engine failure of a Boeing 777 could take more than a year, officials said, but already the picture is becoming clear about what happened to the United Airlines flight on Saturday. The Pratt & Whitney engine failed minutes into United Airlines Flight 328 headed from Colorado to Hawaii, leaving a mild debris in its wake. After the incident, United grounded all of its Boeing 777s. Investigators are looking into metal fatigue as the culprit. United States Air Force B-1B Lancers from Dyess Air Force Base in Texas arrived in Norway on Monday as part of a training mission in Europe, marking the first time U.S. bombers have operated out of the Scandinavian country. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature is fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
The product that you have given me here is, as far as I'm concerned, sent to me from heaven. I love it a great deal. It's hard to find anything that's real nowadays. I enjoy it immensely. It's making my life so much better. I feel so much better. And during this pandemic, I have no worries whatsoever. My immune system has got to be at a top-notch level. I don't seem to get colds or anything. I don't know what getting sick is anymore. This is so cool.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
As expected, the price of gas will continue to rise. Texas, USA Radio News Bureau's John Clemens has more.
That price is 24 cents higher than a month ago. And according to Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com, the price could be going even higher.
Average gas prices will likely continue to rise some 5 to 15 cents a gallon over the next 2 weeks, so long as oil prices do not see additional gain.
The increase of 13 cents a gallon is due to 12 refineries being shut down in Texas due to the snowstorm.
Oil prices continue to put pressure on gasoline prices, but are holding near $60 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate crude oil. But average gas prices soared last week after refinery shutdowns in Texas impacted gasoline production.
The cost of crude oil has played a major role in the increase. AAA also says growing crude prices will continue to rise, causing higher prices at the pump in February. We are USA Radio News.
All right, Jim Clyburn with me, ladies and gentlemen, ConstitutionParty.com. We're talking about climate change. Whether you believe it or not isn't the point. The fact is you better prepare. They're predicting all kinds of disasters coming up. But you know what? The climate change folks know. They don't believe in God, but they know what God says. And they're taking advantage of it. God basically, you know what, if we turn against him, as we're doing in society, you know what? He promises us, or prophecies are biblical, that there will be natural disasters and problems. And whether they believe in God or not isn't the point. They will take advantage of these things, whether it's man-made or God-ordained or created, or, you know, I don't know. I think it's some of both, I'm sure, but get prepared while you still can, because time is running out, ladies and gentlemen, is the point. This is Solutions Radio. Repent, turn to God, pray, do all you can to get ready, ladies and gentlemen. Now, climate czar Joe Kerry, I'm sorry, climate czar John Kerry, working for Joe Biden. We have 9 years left to avert a climate change catastrophe, and there's no room for BS left. All right? Now, Jim, I want you to kind of respond to this. They're going to take advantage of it, even if they don't cause it. I don't know if they can cause it or not, if they can manipulate weather to this degree or not. I don't know. Some say they can, some say they can't. I'm familiar with a lot of the technologies, and there are some evidence there, but, you know, definitive details are hard to come by these days when it comes to this. But I will say this, they will not let a good crisis go to waste. And we know that the weather will get more extreme and more volatile as time goes on. And so I guess what I'm saying is, whether you agree with John Kerry or not, isn't even the point. The fact is, it's a coming. I don't believe we have 9 years and we're all going to be annihilated by any means. But I do believe that it will get worse and we better acknowledge this reality, and we better not rely on government for the solutions. We've got to do what we can within our own families, our own homes, with our own, I don't know what you want to say, with our own crew, with our own people, our neighbors. We better look at this local as the point.
Well, exactly right. And look, the fact is that climate, as we said before, climate change is real. Throughout history, there have been times, there have been typhoons, there have been hurricanes, there have been tornadoes, there have been natural disasters in the weather. And, you know, we all accepted that as being unusual. I mean, you have records. You can go back and look at the weather records, and you see records that were set back in the early 1900s and the 1800s, and snowfalls that broke all records back in the 1880s and things of that. I'm talking about our area here, so I don't know what it is for the rest of the country, but you see things like that. There's catastrophic storms have been around as long as mankind has existed. And the question is what you do with them, how do you use them? And I'd like to point out that the two primary tools that tyrannical governments will use to deprive people of their life, liberty, and property are hunger and fear. And they'll use that whenever they, and you see that happening right now with the pandemic, you know, fear with climate change, fear with, and we haven't seen too much of deprivation of food, but food and water, I should say, but you can easily see how that could happen as well. And any opportunity they get to use that, those two tools, food and fear, they will, to gain more power to themselves and deprive us of our liberties. So, we have to be aware of the motivation of the steps that they take whenever a so-called crisis comes up. And I shouldn't use the word so-called, because I think the crisis is very real for the people living in Texas. But, coupled with that, I would say that the more government gets involved in any crisis, the more people become dependent on government, and the more people, the citizens, look to government for solutions when anything happens. So you have a hurricane, you have a tornado, whatever, and the mentality is that, well, government needs to do something about this. And there may be times that that's appropriate, but we have to be aware that whenever the government steps in to provide so-called help, it is creating dependency on that government and enhancing the mentality for people to expect the government, to demand the government take action whenever a crisis comes. So... But your point is well made. It doesn't matter whether you believe it's real or not. The fact is, it's going to happen. The crises are going to happen. The catastrophes are going to happen, and so on. I personally don't think that we have much effect as human beings on the weather systems. And I've heard the stories, the same I'm sure you have, of where they seed the clouds and they put things in the atmosphere to create violent storms and things like that. I'm not saying that can't happen. I'm just skeptical that that happens.
Well, but, and we're not necessarily skeptical that they're trying it. We're skeptical about how much control they really have, right? Some people believe that they can literally create a storm anywhere they want. They can make it as violent as they want. They can take out anything they want. They can steer the hurricanes, and they can steer the tornadoes, and they can do all these things. And we're just not convinced that man is, well, they can't really even create a human body. So, you know, we're just saying that, hey, we give too much credit to man oftentimes, and we ignore God's role in our lives and in our society. And I agree that, climate change has reality to it. I agree that it's a problem. What I find interesting in the news is they want to just divide the world and say, you know what, it's climate deniers or climate change, I don't know what you want to say, embracers. And that if you're a denier, you don't want government or anybody to do anything ever. And if you're an embracer, you want government to do everything and solve all the problems for you. And they make this binary discussion of, in my opinion, opposites that can never agree and can never work together and can never solve anything. And I believe that's the misnomer and that's the deception and the meltdown point. They're dishonest, okay? Because I believe that climate change is real, okay? I believe that there are things that we can do to make a difference. And I believe that, you know what? Most folks, depending on how you ask the question, will agree with common sense. So let me say it this way. Do you believe that because you burp, Jim, that you're the cause of all the problems in the world, and because of you on the planet, you're an enemy of the earth, and therefore climate change is real? And see, now you're a denier. Because I've just dishonestly trapped you into this. Wait a minute. You took something that I have, that I believe there's a grain of truth in, and that there's some real, and now you've manipulated into a bunch of false premises that I disagree with completely, and now you've kind of trapped me in the discussion. On the other hand, if I say to you this way, do you believe that turmoil in the world is part of Earth life, and that God put us here and he loves us, but yet we're here to be tested, and yes, there will be difficulties in our lives and in the earth, and we need to work together to resolve them? Then you're going to say yes.
Of course.
And so the problem is the way they're framing this whole debate, this whole discussion. They want to say, if you're a conservative, you're a climate change denier. If you're a liberal, you think it's true and the government needs to solve it for you. See, I believe neither of those realities are true. I believe there is a climate problem. I believe that we are not being good stewards of the earth, and therefore we're having all kinds of catastrophes. Denying God and turning our back on God and his laws are one of the cores. That doesn't mean I agree that we're an enemy of the earth. I don't think we're an enemy of the earth. In fact, I think God created the earth and he peopled the earth on purpose. And it's wisdom in God that he did so. And we, as God's children, have a stewardship, a responsibility, an obligation to live our lives according to his laws. And when we do, we're blessed. And when we don't, we lose those blessings. And I believe that we can be good stewards of the earth, and we should clean up disasters that we've created. And we should live our lives in a way that would be, to some degree, in harmony with the earth. But when they want to cross the line and create earth worship, and that's God, and don't turn to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, see, then we get all off the rails in this never work together scenario. Because they frame the argument in a way that's not resolvable. We need to jettison their false narrative, Jim, and stand with the truth, which is we're on the earth. There's turmoil and tests in our lives. God put us here for a purpose. The earth is not our enemy, although we're not in a love affair with the earth either. We realize the earth is God's creation, and so are we. And he's made us stewards over the earth, and we should take care of it to the best of our ability. And we can do this in harmony without destroying everything we hold dear. These things are possible if we intelligently work through this and have the great discussion America is known for. When we get back, I'll have Jim respond. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got to take a grip. We've got to get a grip on this, man. We've got to go and everywhere, in TV and radio and everywhere we go, articulate this in a way that brings people together for solutions and doesn't just divide us from the get-go. Their goal is divide because that's how they gain power. But if we stand together as Americans and say we can even agree to disagree agreeably, we can be kind to one another. But let's work on solutions, not on the divide, shall we?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives Pain Capable Bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. So I submit to you that climate change, the way they've framed it, is not real. Their assertions many times are not genuine and real. However, the fact is there are catastrophes happening. And when you're in Texas and you're freezing to death and you don't have any food, you don't have any water and everything else, it's not time to go. It ain't real. It's time to say, hey, man, I'm not. We're going to maybe diverge on the cause and what we believe the reality is to the situation, but it's real as all get out. And that's what we're trying to prepare you for. Jim Clymer, I want you to kind of speak to this. I think we need to jettison the current narrative and discuss this with a little bit of a different focus, the focus of bringing people together, sir.
Well, and I fully agree. We do need to bring people together and as you said, recognize that catastrophes are real when they hit you. You know, we too often feel removed from them. We think, well, that's somebody else's problem. But when it hits home, when it's with you, it's as real as can be. You mentioned about not worshiping the earth and so on, and I concur completely with that. But the other worship that we see is of man. And we have the idea that man can solve all the problems, that man is, place man in the, really as God, and thinking that mankind is able to figure everything out and to assume everything. We have to recognize that that's just not the case. You know, there's a God in heaven that, is in control, and man is limited on what mankind can do to solve problems, especially when you're talking about weather-related catastrophes and storms and earthquakes and things like that. We're just limited in what we can do. But we as individuals can and should, as we said before, we have a duty to prepare for the times, the things that will come over time. And, you know, let's go to the ant thou sluggard and consider its ways and be wise and, you know, prepare for the future. We've got all kinds of admonitions like that. One other thing I'd like to point out, too, before I forget it, and that is the hypocrisy of many of those who talk about being, I won't say good stewards, because we believe in being good stewards. I've always believed that. I've always believed in living frugally and respectfully and being a caretaker of the resources that we've been given on the earth. But talk about the hypocrisy of those who want to use the whole climate change thing as a means of well, for ulterior with ulterior motives, and you have, I mean, you've all heard the stories about Al Gore and Hollywood stars and so on who, while touting the dangers of fossil fuels and what this is going to do to the earth and to the climate, and yet they fly around in their private jets and are some of the biggest contributors to it themselves, but it's just like it's for everybody else, not for them. And then on a much smaller level, there's a more local level, I see people like that who are too much trouble to do simple things like recycling aluminum cans and plastic bottles and throwing plastic bottles around everywhere. You know, it's just not the sort of thing that on a very local and personal level that I do. I like to use the common sense things that you can do to, again, live frugally, to do what you can in your own little corner to be a steward of the earth and of the blessings that we've been given, and to treat them wisely. So, I think we need to call attention to the hypocrisy that we see and the double standard that so many carry on.
And we really need to be civil. Okay, I believe in civility. In fact, we're building a website called A Call for Civility. Okay, because I believe it's so critical right now that we have civility. But we need to also reject the narrative that's being positioned, which is, Jim, you're an enemy of the earth. You're a conservative. You're a global warming denier. And you, my friend, are the cause of all of our woes. In fact, we might need to put you in jail for your denial of the truth. You're leading people astray. We need to stop that narrative. We also need to stop the narrative that we say, hey, all these green climate change people are so whacked out they can't see straight. Now, both sides may believe some of those things, but we need to back off on the rhetoric, and we need to find ways that we agree. We agree that we must prepare as individuals and as families for what's to come. A little bit of food, a little bit of blankets and warmth, a little bit of fuel, a little bit of preparedness, a little bit of, is good for us all. We need to start there. Secondly, we can make common sense changes that can decrease our disrespect for the earth. That doesn't mean we worship it, but we can go far enough to say, hey, we should be good stewards. Somebody needs to create almost a discussion about how we can work together on this with these bullet points. You know, we can back away from the extreme rhetoric on either side. We can get together and say, you know what, we all agree we need to prepare. We all agree we need to have a little bit of food on hand. We all agree we need to do some things in case we don't have warmth. We all agree we need to do things to have a little bit of power to keep our cell phones charged. We can agree on these things. And I think the more we can put bullet points of agreement that we can focus on, the more this debate can actually be productive, Jim.
Well, I agree. I do believe in civility. I believe in respect for other people and differing viewpoints. And we need to keep a dialogue open where we can discuss civilly why we take the positions that we do. And no, I don't like to be cast into any particular mold and just say because I'm a conservative that I'm a climate denier or whatever. I think a lot of it is terminology the term climate change as opposed to global warming. You know, of course, they used to always say global warming and realized that wasn't selling too well, so they changed it to climate change, which is something we can find areas of agreement with, because there is, as you said several times here in this interview show, that there is climate change. We can't deny that. It's just the question of we have to ask is what causes it? Is it something that we have control over? To what extent? If we have some control, to what extent do we have control?
But, and not only to what extent do we have control, but what can we as a group do about it, even despite our different beliefs? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it doesn't matter if you and I believe exactly the same on it or not. That isn't the point. The point is, what can we do together, regardless of our differences?
Yeah, exactly. And But we need to also point out the fallacies where they exist as well. But it can be done, and a lot of times it's the manner in which it's done, and where we can point out the facts that, well, just example, one thing that, of course, that became obvious with this Texas situation is that total reliance on renewable energy is a fallacy. It doesn't work. The windmills weren't working. The windmills froze up. That's even though I forget the numbers, but I think it was something like 15%, if I remember correctly, of the power came from windmills, but it affected like 25% of the power grid. And these things have consequences if they are, if you go too much in one direction and, you know, want to go totally green or something like that. So, again, as you said, though, it's a matter of how you do it and not set up a dialogue that or a situation where they're the enemy and we're right in everything. We can learn from each other, and we need to.
One of the interesting things is there's a headline of a new poll that's come out. Polling data suggests that voters who backed former President Donald J. Trump for the 2020 election hold more nuanced opinions on climate change than the binary climate denial versus climate acceptance debate acknowledges. So in other words, they've framed it, and most of our opinions are more nuanced than that. Most of us are a lot more like Jim and I are talking about. Then it went on and said 66% of Trump voters believe that climate change is real. The remaining 34% says that it's not real and the government should do nothing to combat it. Now, I'm not really a fan of the government doing something to combat it necessarily, but I do think the government needs to be in support of preparedness. Okay, so I'm not looking to the government for all the answers. But I am saying, look, the government does have a role to play, whether we agree constitutionally or not, they should or not. That's teaching to the ideal. The real is, hey, you got a huge power grid in Texas that's controlled by the government of Texas. So we can't just rule the government out of it. Now, I agree that we want to eventually have more liberty and less government involvement. I go there. But you can't have it happen overnight. But I bring this up because most folks are starting to get this nuanced idea that, hey, just because you say this, I agree with part of what you say, but not all. You know what? I don't agree with the origins that they claim relate to climate change, but I do believe that catastrophes are ahead in the future and we better prepare for them. Okay, this is the nuanced discussion that Americans are starting to be acquainted with. And it's the Trump supporters, many of them not even Republican, that have this view. Many of them are not even super conservative, but they also have this nuanced idea on this climate change discussion where two-thirds of them believe that climate change is real and that we need to do something about it. The origins, again, I believe are a big lie that they're telling, but nevertheless, we need to acknowledge that it's real because denying it doesn't help us prepare, Jim. That's the point, right?
Well, I think the emphasis should be on preparedness and not on what government can or should do. When you say government has a role, I may acknowledge that on the state level. Frankly, I don't think it has a role in the federal level.
Yeah, I gave the example
that
the power grid is owned by a single state in Texas to make the point. I agree.
Yeah. But again, the emphasis should be on preparedness for when these things come, not presume that we have the ability as mankind to alter the weather or to affect it in any significant way ourselves.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is hope in America, hope in God, hope in family, and hope in country. That's my claim to fame. I'm not going to go negative on America. We live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. Our job and our generation is to keep it that way, Jim. Final word to you, sir.
Yeah, that brings to mind the words of Franklin when he was leaving the Constitutional Convention. You know, giving you a republic if you can keep it, and that's
God
sort of
save the
way...
Republic. Thanks, Jim.
Yep. Okay.